This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Robert Bonney, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, producer Russell Williams, he's from Dalhart, and he talks about focusing on margins.
It's all about the margins. Right now everything pencils out. I don't have everything locked in. Everything is so volatile. You feel, with what's happening in the Ukraine, the prices of gas, the prices of nitrogen fertilizer, of potash is on a kind of a whiplash. It's kind of hard to follow those markets. I have a lot of my stuff locked in, but I'm still worried. And I'll play the market. I'll hedge. I'll buy options. I'll buy calls, things like that, just to make sure that I'm not, solely relying on Mother Nature and solely relying on a functioning market to make sure that my farm is profitable.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Robert Bonney with USDA, and great to see you again.
Good to see you, Tony.
Okay. Right now, producers are really gearing up, but some concerns about maybe some staffing levels at the local FSA offices. Are we seeing that improve yet?
Yeah. One thing is obviously COVID. We pulled back a lot of staff in our offices. We've had an incident management team working on this, tracking county data every day. We are at the vast majority of our offices right now are at 75% staffing, and we're moving as quickly as we can to open them up, to not require folks to have to get an appointment before they come in. So we're moving just as quickly as we can. We know how important that is. The other piece of your question is that we've also lost a few staff over the last few years, and so we're working as quickly as we can on that as well, both on the NRCS side and the FSA side, to fill those boots back, get people back in the office, and it's a high priority for us.
You talk about trying to get those replaced. That hiring through the government's not really a quick process. Has that been a challenge?
It has been a challenge. There's an authority called Direct Hiring Authority that we've had in the past. We're working on again. That allows us to move more quickly, and it's critically important, particularly in this labor market where folks are going to have a lot of offers, and if we dawdle, we're going to lose them. And so we're working with the broader federal government to see if we can speed that process up.
So you mentioned offers. Maybe that's a good segue into the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP. That's been highly successful. I know y'all have been working on more acres.
Yeah, that's right. So general sign-up ends tomorrow. Crop prices are high. We'll see what comes in. Our interest is to try to fill the program up to hit that acreage cap. And we'll see what comes in. We can do that through, we'll see what we can do through the general sign-up. We added additional incentives last year to encourage more producers to come in. But there are also other opportunities to both the CRP grasslands. We'll be out later this spring with a sign up there, and we think there'll be some interest there. That's obviously a working lands program. People can continue to graze. And then we'll look for ways through continuous enrollments, CREP programs, and those sorts of things where we can get the environmentally sensitive other acres into the program. So, it's a vitally important program. It takes a lot of lands, many of which maybe shouldn't have been in production, and puts them in a conservation use. And, we'll do what we can to make sure it's fully subscribed.
We talk about CRP, and we talk about the drought going on right now west of the Mississippi. And many of those acres are the reason why we have CRP. Obviously, drought has been something on your radar as well.
Yeah, drought. I mean, in the context of CRP, it matters because it creates an opportunity for some producers and landowners that maybe have been impacted by drought. But beyond that, drought is critical. We're seeing longer droughts. We've talked a lot here at the Commodity Classic about sort of the climate change mitigation side. How do we reduce greenhouse gas emissions? But resilience in the face of drought, extreme weather, wildfire, all those things are critically important as well. And one thing we need to make sure at USDA is that we've got the tools in the toolbox, whether it's drought or other things, to be able to help agriculture. And I suspect this is going to be an important conversation as we go into the 23 Farm Bill.
Speaking of that, you had the opportunity to sit in front of the firing squad known as the House Ag Committee recently as they looked at some issues dealing with the Farm Bill. What were some of the highlights that came out of that, would you say?
Yeah, I thought it was a good conversation. There are questions on the climate side. I mean, I don't need to tell you, climate change has been controversial in rural and in agriculture. Before, you know, there's a really constructive conversation. Ag is at the table. It's got its sleeves rolled up and figuring out how can we build policies that will work for agriculture and the climate at the same time. Some of that, you know, those constructive questions came through in that hearing. There were other questions about our ability to move on some disaster dollars, some questions looking towards the 23 farm bill, and then also questions around, you know, the questions you were asking early on about staffing and our ability to get folks back out in the offices to think about other things we can do to make it easier for producers to enroll in programs. And so those administrative side of what we do, not quite as sexy, but important. And so anytime you go to a hearing like that, you hear about those things too.
So to kind of roll all this up together, in the past we had a program known as WIP. Then WIP Plus was added to help some of those producers not originally covered in the WIP program. But are we looking at anything else down the road?
Well, it's an interesting question. We're obviously trying to move on some disaster dollars right now, building on WIP and WIP Plus, and we're working quickly to on the livestock side. We'll be out this month with the phase one of moving those dollars, with cropland soon to follow, and then we'll, for those producers we can't get to, we'll come with phase two, both on the livestock and the crop side. Looking to the future, you know, part of part of the core of our safety net is crop insurance. That continues to be really important. We'll look for ways. Are there things we can do there to enhance who gets it policies so that we can do a better job of providing that tool? Nice thing about crop insurance is the payments happen pretty quickly, and that's really attractive. But there's going to be a conversation about what level of ad hoc disaster going forward in the context of the 23 Farm Bill. Expect that. And part of our design of the disaster dollars we're moving now is to encourage people. We're using data from NAP. We're using data from RMA. We're using data from those livestock programs. Part of it is to encourage people to go there first, to get in those programs, and then we'll fill the gaps. So I still think our core safety net programs are really, really important, and there's going to be an ongoing conversation about what role ad hoc disaster payments play.
So here's the last one. And I'm sure you're not asked this a whole lot, but at your position at USDA, you get to see so much of what happens within that department. You also get to deal with producers. But what's one word you could add to producers as we go into 2022 with difficult situations, whether we're on the crop side or livestock side? What's a word, if you could just sit down with a cup of coffee with a producer, what would you offer him right now?
Well, I think from our standpoint, we want to make the programs we have work as well as they can for producers out there. And one of the great things about being a commodity classic is we hear what's working, what's not, where can we do a better job of serving our customers. And we want to be transparent about that. And so, you know, we want to hear from producers. This is a partnership about how we support agriculture, how we support forestry. And so I would encourage folks to, you know, reach out to their FSA offices, reach out to NRCS. This is a partnership, and you know, we've got great folks out in the field, but we can always do better. And, you know, part of the great thing about coming to meetings like that is, you know, folks are honest, and they tell you where you can do better, and they also tell you what they think's going well as part of that, too.
So good to see you. Wish you the best. We'll talk soon.
Good. Thank you, man.
Again, Robert Bonney with USDA on today's Agribusiness Report.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Why sorghum? I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack speaking at Commodity Classic and talking about climate smart commodities.
As we travel around the country and around the world, it is very clear that more and more consumers are anxious and interested in knowing where their food comes from and how it's produced. They're asking questions, they want answers. Food companies are attempting to market their products as sustainably produced, as climate smart, as climate friendly, without any real standard as to what that actually means. It's a higher value proposition. And at USDA, we believe that farmers should take full advantage of that higher value opportunity and ought to be leading that effort. So we took a step back and we asked all of you, how would you start this? What would you want us to do? How can we help create a climate smart standard? How can we create that value added opportunity for farmers? And here's what you told us. You said start with a pilot project. Start with a series of pilots. Start with large scale demonstration projects that allow farmers of all sizes and all geographies and all commodities to participate. Allow them to aggregate their activities. Provide resources for them to embrace climate smart agriculture practices, which they may already be doing. Don't penalize the early adopters. Allow us to work with you to monitor and measure and verify the results and to quantify those results in a way that will allow us to establish a standard of what a climate smart commodity is. And then let us work together to market that higher value proposition with the understanding that farmers are able to recoup the benefits of that high value. And let us structure this in a way that those who participate, if they so choose, can actively participate on their own in any private sector ecosystem market or carbon market or water market that may be out there. The goal here is to create additional revenue opportunities that complement the traditional revenue opportunities of growing crops and selling them, growing crops, feeding the livestock and selling the livestock, creating two or three additional revenue streams. I anticipate that as we collect these applications, we're going to see innovation being advanced. We're going to see opportunities to refine our measurement and monitoring tools. We'll see greenhouse gas reduction numbers that will help educate the rest of the country about how sustainable agriculture is today. I think we'll see more carbon sequestered. I think we'll see American leadership take a leadership position, American agriculture take a leadership position in moving this forward and showing the way to the rest of the country how we can transform and doing it the right way. I think we can do this in a way that provides financial cover to those producers who are involved in this, and I believe that we'll see an explosion of technology and innovation that will inspire the next generation and the next generation to be attracted to farming and agribusiness.
That's Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack talking about climate smart commodities at Commodity Classic. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Control your growing environment like never before with a Sunflower 1436 disc harrow. With a design that is fine-tuned to work precisely and easily, you can give each seed its best shot at a healthy return. Whatever your soil type or tillage practice, the Sunflower line of disc harrows is your best choice for rugged, reliable performance. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, USDA Undersecretary Robert Bonney.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
This time of year, USDA's WASDE report tends to focus on crops in the southern hemisphere.
We made a relatively large cut in Brazil's soybean production this month. And you'll recall last month we cut the crop by 5 million tons. And then this month, again, we took another cut of about 7 million tons.
World Board Chair Mark Jakanowski says the crop is impacted by a continuing drought,
which also sort of affects the whole region. So we also cut Argentina and Paraguay. When you add it all up, across these main producers of South America, Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay, we cut production by 10 million tons this month.
He says that is a pretty large monthly cut for global soybean production.
It's primarily a yield cut, and that would be a yield cut of about almost 6%. And if realized, yields, soybean yields in Brazil would be about 12% below last year and 16% below trend.
This is Stephanie Hofe in Washington, D.C.